Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're going to continue talking about the Hunger Games in today's program. We talked about it the last couple of times. We summarized the plot for you on the first day. We talked about the writer, Suzanne Collins, in the second day. And today we're going back to the story of the Hunger Games to talk about some of its themes and what they mean.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to talk about what she wanted to really communicate to the readers as she wrote her book. There's always the story or the plot. But beyond the plot, there are these messages that the authors want to give to the readers and not just, you know, tell them how they feel, but have the readers pick up the message throughout the book in the different scenes and the different relationships. You'll see some of these themes emerge, I could say. One of the things that it reminded me of was the movie I saw called Gladiator, which was very popular. I think it won the Oscar, didn't it, for best film when
something,
it was out?
Something, or special effects or
that
something like
really
that.
It was really kind of wonderful. But it was awful to imagine that people would actually have two folks try to fight to the death as entertainment.
Yeah,
what kind of weird. What kind of weird people are they who want to fight, see people die as entertainment? That's
people
terrible.
Are sadistic. They're really weird. They enjoy watching the suffering and misery of other people. And I think that still continues to this day. But, yeah, she's kind of writing this as if it were taking place in the future. So I guess she's kind of warning us that, hey, this might happen again.
Mm.
So let's get to it. Let's talk about some of the themes and ideas in the Hunger Games. Let's read today's lesson right now, one time. Aside from the carnage that is featured throughout the novel, the Hunger Games also contains several deeper themes. For one, it examines the concept of using people's suffering as a form of mass entertainment. This is an idea that goes back to the gladiators in ancient Rome. In the book, millions of people tune in with excitement to watch the games. It seems that the more the contestants suffer, the more the audience is pleased. Even though the participants are all children, this doesn't seem to disturb viewers or detract from their enjoyment. The difference in how rich and poor people are treated in society is another key theme. In the book, the people in poor districts, like Katniss's family, often face starvation, while rich families have an abundance of food. In addition, rich children have a far lower chance of being selected for the games. Even if they are picked, they will receive better training and equipment, so their chances of surviving are greatly increased. Still, another theme which plays an important part in the story is people's outer appearance. At the opening ceremony, Katniss's flaming dress earns her the nickname "the girl who was on fire," and it makes her stand out among the contestants. By attracting more attention, she earns sponsors who later provide her with gifts that help her survive. Later, her romance with Pisa could also be seen as partially a marketing decision designed to earn sympathy from viewers. Parallels can be drawn with reality television, as it suggests that much of what is seen on these programs is also fabricated.
Okay, guys, let's get going here. Aside from the carnage that is featured throughout the novel, The Hunger Games also contains several deeper themes. Besides the carnage, by the way, is a lot of dead bodies, a lot of bloody bodies. It's pretty awful to look at carnage. It's a word you see when you're either talking about war or somewhere where there's been a lot of violence, carnage. Ugh. So aside from means beside that. Excluding that, we're going to be talking about some deeper themes. So, yes, we know that there's a lot of blood and guts. We say blood and guts a lot, actually.
Blood and gut movies. Yeah.
Yeah, blood and guts. Your guts are your insides that have been ripped out, just kind of gross looking. Blood and guts. Aside from the blood and guts that is featured throughout the novel, they've got some really deep themes in it as well. Let's look at one of them. It examines the concept of using people's suffering as a form of mass entertainment. Ooh. Concept here just means an idea. I could say I'm familiar with the basic concepts of calculus, but that's it. I don't understand anything beyond the basic concepts, so the basic ideas. Also, let's look for examples for this phrase, aside from. Aside from can mean with the exception of or not including something. For example, I could say, aside from a few pieces of bread, I don't have any food in my apartment.
Mm-hmm, right. In addition to, you could also say, so along with the carnage, the violence, and all the mass killing of people, we've also got some other themes or ideas. For one, as an example, it examines the concept of using people's suffering as a form of mass entertainment, not just entertainment for one or two people, but mass entertainment, entertainment for millions and millions of people on the internet or on TV and stuff like that. So here in Taipei, of course, we have mass transit, which is the MRT system. There's also an MRT system in Kaohsiung, and I understand there is a mass transit system planned for Taichung as well. So for one here, one example of a theme, we are examining the concept of using people's suffering as a way to be entertained. Yes, do we like to watch people suffer as a form of entertainment? Some people do.
Ew.
And so we're examining this. No, we're not giving them a test. But if you examine something, that just means you kind of look it over, you inspect it, you kind of look at it in order to make some conclusions from it or get some information from it.
Well, this idea of liking to watch people suffer as a form of entertainment goes back to the gladiator days in ancient Rome. I talked about that film Gladiator, which was very popular, years ago. A gladiator was a man in ancient Rome who fought against either a man or an animal like a tiger for public entertainment. He would be in one of those large outdoor arenas, and people would be sitting around the arena outside cheering for either the animal to kill him or one man to kill the other man. It's pretty horrible. But this is what they did in ancient Rome.
Yeah, nowadays sometimes you hear about like cock fights, you know, where they have roosters fight each other for entertainment.
Or dogs.
Yeah, wasn't there some famous rap singer or sports star?
No, he's an athlete.
An athlete, who was doing that with dogs. Uh-huh. So that still goes on. Not so much with people, at least not as far as I can tell.
Well, you have those animals fight to the death.
Fight to the death and until people, one is dead.
Yeah, people gamble money. They'll say, oh, I think this dog's going to win, but it's illegal in the United States.
It's supposed to be illegal. And, well, this is an idea, again, that goes back to the gladiators in ancient Rome. As you said, they had this guy out there fighting other people or animals. And in the book, The Hunger Games, millions of people tune in with excitement to watch the games. Here, tune in, of course, makes me think of the TV media, television. They tune in. They turn on their TVs. They turn the channel to the right channel, and they can watch the games. And they do this with great excitement. Let's watch the games. Wow, there's going to be a lot of blood and guts, lots of violence. We can't wait.
Ew. You can also tune into a radio show or a radio program. So you want to find the right channel by tuning in. It seems that the more the contestants suffer, the more the audience is pleased. Ooh, that's really kind of horrible to imagine, that people would like to see others suffering and in pain. Well, even though the participants are all children, remember, this doesn't seem to disturb viewers or detract from their enjoyment. A participant is someone who is participating. If you're participating, you're involved in something actively. We know all of the participants or contestants, we also can call them, are children. But it doesn't seem to disturb the viewers. If you are disturbed, it means it bothers you. You feel uncomfortable watching it. Sometimes cockroaches are very disturbing to people. It makes them go, ooh, and they try to run away from it. But it seems like a lot of the viewers actually liked watching these kids fight to the death.
Indeed. So it's not really disturbing to a lot of people. They actually like this sort of thing. Violence to me is quite disturbing, for example. Yeah. Violence to animals or children is quite disturbing. That's something that I have difficulty listening to or hearing about. But here, this violence doesn't seem to disturb viewers, even if it involves children, and nor does it detract from their enjoyment. To detract from means to kind of make them lose their attention or their ability to focus on something. So to detract means to reduce or take away the worth or value of something. So, yes, it does not reduce their enjoyment. They enjoy it just as much as they would if it were adults.
I could say, you know, the burned vegetables detracted from the rest of the tasty meal that my friend made for me. The rest of it was really good, but, you know, the burned vegetables kind of spoiled the rest of the meal.
happen sometimes. Yeah.
Well, the difference in how rich and poor people are treated in society is another key theme. We're talking about the themes here. The first theme, of course, is the fact that people actually enjoy watching others suffer, that this is some sort of entertainment to them. The second theme would be how rich and poor people are treated differently in society. Now, in the book, the people in the poor districts, like Katniss's family, she's from a poor area, they often face starvation. If you face starvation, it means you are likely to have nothing to eat. So if you don't eat, you know what happens. You eventually die. So starvation is suffering or death that's caused by having nothing to eat or not enough to eat. Millions of people face starvation every day.
Right. Starvation is going on all over the world. Even though we're producing record quantities of food, I guess the problem is with distribution or whatever. Corruption. Stuff like that.
Yeah, governments, yeah.
And, of course, rich families get all the food they want. They have an abundance of food. If you have an abundance of something, that means you have more than enough of that thing, a very large quantity of something. We could say that Taiwan has an abundance of vegetation. My goodness, everywhere you go, you see trees, you see plants. There's an abundance of plants here, or an abundance of food, or different kinds of snacks you can try in night markets and restaurants and places like that. Abundance here is a noun. Abundant, with a T at the end, is the adjective form. Things are abundant, you could say.
Yeah, the tasting number of snacks in Taiwan night markets is abundant. That would be the adjective form of this word. I love the food here in Taiwan. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 很多人在阅读这个小说的时候想到的可能只是很多的屠杀的主题 The Carnage， 事实上还有其他更深层想要表达的议题。首先来看一下在第一段的第二个句子写着 For one, it examines the concept of using people's suffering as a form of mass entertainment。第一个呢，它其实这本小说检视的就是大家会把自己的快乐建筑在别人的痛苦上，也就是 using people's suffering， 我们用的是别人的痛苦 as a form of， 当作是怎么样的形式呢？ mass entertainment， 这种大众娱乐的观念。The concept 代表就是一种概念跟想法，什么的概念跟想法，我们可以搭配介系词 of。举个例子来说 ，It's important that children learn to understand the concept of sharing， 让孩子们明白分享的概念是很重要的。那么我们在学校学习的是许多学科的基本概念，你就可以称之为 basic concepts。接着来看到第一段的最后一句 Even though the participants are all children, this doesn't seem to disturb viewers or detract from their enjoyment. 小说里面尽管观众知道参赛者全是孩子 participants 其实指的就是参赛选手的意思。 所以如果讲到电视辩论赛的参赛选手，就可以说 The participants in a televised debate。尽管这些都是孩子，但是似乎也不会让观众感到不安。在这里我们使用了一个动词 disturb， 原本是打断打扰的意思，在这里有使不安跟烦恼的意思。举个例子来说， Jane was disturbed to hear her son had been injured at school。 Jane 听到她儿子在学校受伤而感到不安，这时候就可以用 disturb 这个动词。所以这些人看孩子参加残忍的比赛，并不会感到不安，也不会降低他们观赏的乐趣。第二个要探讨的主题，在第二段的第一句提到 The difference in how rich and poor people are treated in society is another key theme。这些有钱人跟穷人在社会上所遭受的差别待遇 The difference 就是这个小说要探讨的另外一个 key theme 关键主题。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson for today. We're talking about some of the themes and ideas in the Hunger Games. Where we left off, we were talking about the difference in how rich and poor people are treated in society. We all pretty much know this, that if you're rich, you get a lot more favors than if you're poor. But in the book, of course, the children in the poor districts face starvation. They often don't get enough to eat. Maybe that's where the idea of the Hunger Games comes in, where they're actually fighting for food. So, yes, the rich families have an abundance of food, but in addition, rich children have a far lower chance of being selected for the games. The rich people can buy off government officials, they can bribe people, they can get a deferral, I guess, they can start companies or something, they can change their names or do all sorts of stuff so they can avoid having to play in these games, whereas poor people don't have those choices.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair, it's not fair, but that's the way the world works. Even if the rich kids are picked, they will receive better training and equipment, so their chances of surviving are greatly increased. Remember, in our first program on the Hunger Games, we talked about how Katniss was selected and then received combat training. Combat is fighting in a war situation. Well, the rich kids would actually receive better training. That would help them a lot. Also, their equipment was better. Equipment is so important. Your equipment include the tools and supplies you need to get a job done. You can have sports equipment, stereo equipment, lab equipment to do experiments in the laboratory, science experiments. Equipment is not countable. Mm. Tom and I hear equipments all the time in Taiwan. It's wrong. Don't do it.
I'm wondering if the reason for that is, though, I'm suggesting this as a possible theory, that in English the letter T is often kind of soft and it sounds kind of like it has an S sound there, equipment. You know, it sort of has an S sound
there. No, I think people just put S's. Because even with information, people put informations. That's
they
incorrect.
They do that. True. That's right. No. But I did want to say that sometimes the T does sound a little like an S. But in any case here, equipment is a non-count noun, so don't put an S on there. And yes, indeed, they get equipment, training equipment, maybe weights and exercise machines and all the best weapons and stuff like that. So their chances of surviving are greatly increased, whereas poor people probably get inferior equipment and they probably don't get much training ahead of time. So if a rich kid goes against a poor kid, it's probably not going to be much of a contest.
Mm-hmm. If you say your chances of surviving are greatly increased, it means you have the luck, all the luck on your side, you could say. You are definitely going to be more lucky as you have to go up against somebody else. Remember, they pit these kids against each other. Now, here's another theme. So we're using the phrase, still another theme. So this is our third theme that we're mentioning in this program. It plays an important part in the story. What is the theme? People's outer appearance. There's a famous phrase or idiom we use in English where we say, don't judge a book by its cover, which means you shouldn't judge people by their outer appearance. You judge people by their character and who they are, not how they look or how they dress. Oftentimes, if you are wealthy, you can afford to look better. Your hair is probably cut better. You have more makeup. You have better clothes, all of these things. So the third theme is a person's outer appearance.
Right. I was going to say, as you're listing examples for an argument, you can say, for one, blah, blah, blah. Another theme, blah, blah, blah. Still another theme, blah, blah, blah. Yet another theme, blah, blah, blah. You can be using those terms to introduce one idea after another in an essay. So still another theme, yet another theme is the outer appearance, what things look like. And for example, here at the opening ceremony, remember the Hunger Games have an opening ceremony, just like the Olympics. Katniss's flaming dress earns her the nickname the girl who was on fire. Flaming here means something is on fire, but it could also mean that something has the appearance or characteristic of a fire, not necessarily burning. I'm imagining her dress is maybe kind of red.
It's very red.
Yeah, so as you see this dress, it looks like it's actually burning, but it isn't. So it's a flaming dress.
It's gorgeous. If you haven't seen her dress, I went to the internet to see what the dress looked like. It's gorgeous. And the actress Jennifer Lawrence is beautiful. So she looks terrific in this dress. So, of course, she gets a lot of attention by wearing this gorgeous red dress. A lot of times we'll say flaming red to describe the color of the dress. You could see a flaming sunset sky. Someone could have flaming red hair, very, very red hair. Here, her dress is so pretty that she earns the nickname, the girl who was on fire. Your nickname is not your real name. It's a name that's different from your real name, but your family or friends call you your nickname when they're talking to you or about you. If you ever followed basketball, you might remember a very, very famous basketball player named Magic Johnson. Well, that was his nickname. His real name was Irvin Johnson, but because he was so magical when he handled the basketball, he got the nickname Magic. So her nickname was the girl who was on fire.
And, of course, people here in Taiwan oftentimes use nicknames from their name. Like if I know somebody whose name is Chen Xingde or something, his nickname might be Ada or something like that. I guess that would qualify as a nickname. And her nickname here was the girl who was on fire. And as a result of this dress, it makes her stand out among the contestants. Mm-hmm. And if you stand out, that means you're more noticeable than everybody else, especially if you're with a bunch of other people. You could stand out from a crowd, for example, if you're very tall, or if you're very attractive, or if you're very talented.
Mm-hmm. Well, by attracting more attention, which she does, she earns sponsors, who later provide her with gifts that help her survive. A sponsor is a person, or it could be a company, that pays the cost of an activity or an event. In return, they have the right to advertise during the event. So during the Olympics, there are a lot of corporate sponsors. The baseball teams here have a lot of corporate sponsors. Their names are on their uniforms and stuff.
Also as of advertising on their hats and stuff, too. Yeah.
Well, later, Katniss has a romance with Peeta. They go from being just childhood friends to boyfriend-girlfriend.
Cool.
And this was also seen as partially a marketing decision designed to earn sympathy from viewers. Partially means somewhat, but not completely, partly. I could say my dress is partially torn. It's not torn all the way. It's just torn halfway, perhaps. Partially a marketing decision. Marketing is any activity that involves making people aware of a company's product, making sure they know the products are available at a store, that they can buy them. And if you want to earn sympathy, you want the audience to feel sorry for you, that you care about them. So sympathy is any feeling where you care about somebody, you care about whether they're okay, whether they're happy or sad. So supposedly their relationship was supposed to earn sympathy from viewers and make viewers like them more.
Right, so maybe Katniss and Peter were just really good friends and they were not romantically involved, or at least not that much. But the company showing these games on TV decided, hey, let's make them have a romance to increase our ratings. So it was a marketing decision to get the sympathy from viewers, and they could charge more for commercials and stuff like that because more people would be watching. Now, parallels can be drawn with reality television, as it suggests that much of what is seen on these programs is also fabricated. To draw a parallel means you see similarities between two things. Hey, isn't that what happens with reality TV as well?
That's right. And if you fabricate something, you make it up. You create it. It's not real. You usually do it to trick people. So if you fabricate stories to sell magazines, you're tricking readers into believing what you're writing is true. It's not. So fabricate means to make up, and it's a lie. So be careful about things that are fabricated. Right now, guys, someone who never fabricates is our Chinese teacher. Let's listen now.
前面的文章提到，有钱人有大量的食物可用，贫困的人则要面对饥饿。所以在这样子，我们看到这一段的最后一句写着 ,Even if they are picked, they will receive better training and equipment, so their chances of surviving are greatly increased. 这里的 they 指的就是 rich children,就算有钱人的小孩被挑选上，他们也可以获得 better training and equipment, 比较好的训练跟装备，而他们呢存活下来的几率当然也就大大的增加咯。最后一个另外一个主题在这里，我们用 still another, 所以同学如果去看到这里有很多的主题要探讨，第一个用 one, 第二个用 another,还有一个我们就可以用 still another。 这一句写着 still another theme which plays an important part in the story is people's outer appearance。 另外一个探讨的重要主题就是人的外表 outer appearance。 这里提到呢 Katniss 在一刚开始因为她的装扮让大家呢觉得她很出色，也受到比较多的关注。而后面的句子提到 ,later, her romance with Peter could also be seen as partially a marketing decision designed to earn sympathy from viewers. 而她跟 Peter 之间的爱情故事也可以被视为呢是行销手法的一部分。在这里 ,marketing 指的就是行销了。A marketing decision 后面有一个修饰的片语，这样子的一个决定是被设计为了要换取博取观众的同情。 Sympathy 指的就是同情，所以你对某人深表同情，你就可以说 feel 或者是 have sympathy for somebody。 最后一句提到 Parallels can be drawn with reality television as it suggests that much of what is seen on these programs is also fabricated。 事实上呢，你可以看得出来这跟电视的真人实境秀有相似之处。在英文里面，如果我们讲到 draw a parallel with something, 就是代表有比较的意思，而这里的 parallel 指的就是共同点跟相似的手法的意思。因为呢，这样子的一个节目都暗示了观众所看到的节目有大部分都是杜撰的。而这里的 fabricate 代表的就是捏造、伪造的意思。
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. We hope we have inspired you to read The Hunger Games or at least go see the movie. You'll benefit either way. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.